As you can probably tell, I'm pretty full. You know, when we travel like this, people pull on me a little bit differently. And so when things are pulled out of you, part of the kingdom principle is things come into you. And one of the things that I want to ask you to begin to pray about, I've heard from the Lord about, I'm going to write another book on divine alignment. And so I'm going to preach a little bit today about identity because the Lord has just really been speaking to me about it. In fact, I was supposed to meet my publisher in Kentucky on Friday morning, and we were going to finish the book. It's getting closer, the book about my life. And, you know, they're publishing, they're working on it free. They just so felt there were some things in it. But I'm pregnant again with another book, and things are starting to come together about alignment and understanding of divine alignment. Listen, without divine alignment, you never discover your identity. You need to write that down. Without divine alignment, you know, I heard it in what Ian said about when he said it was 14. Lord, I didn't realize he was that young. And by the way, let me just share this with you. The young man, Philip, that was up here a while ago, I remember when he was a glisten in his daddy's eye. I remember when they talked about having another child, and I was counting up all the other children. I was going, another one? Amen. But the Hardwicks had that grace, and it was good for them. The other thing I want to say before I get into this word, be turning to Psalms 103. We're going to look at verse 7 to springboard out of this. At the end of this service, I want to get everyone to come to the front, and I didn't get a chance to catch Matt. You talk to him. Thank you, Dan. We're going to do a short video so we can send it to Josh and Abigail Ransom, who we support there. They've been in training kind of off of social media, but we're going to just give them a love greeting from us, and we're going to post it on their Facebook page. We don't just support them here financially. We don't just support them here with prayer. We support them here with love, and they are a part of us. They're working over in Papua New Guinea, and they're doing a great work over there, and it's important to understand. And so we want them to know that they're so many times when missionaries go overseas, it's out of sight, out of mind, and we want them to know we're praying and we're standing with them. They're just an incredible couple. How many of you are there? Hey, up in the media booth or in the booth, can y'all cut the white lights on? That's up, the big ones up here. I'm preaching today out of the Bible for a change. Amen? Not out of my iPad. And these 64-year young eyes need just a little bit more light amplification to read from there's the Bible in here. This is the Holy Bible, okay? And so I'm going to preach from the Holy Bible today. With it. In Psalms 103, verse 7, it says, He made known His ways to Moses. Everybody say His ways. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. One of the things in identifying and coming into your true identity, you got to move out of knowing God and getting your identity out of your gifting and the acts of God. Can you imagine? Let's talk about the difference. Can you imagine if someone today got born again, had never been raised in church, didn't know anything about it, and they didn't know where to read in the Bible, and they opened their Bible and started reading where it opened, and it opened to the story of Ananias and Sapphira. As you know, there in that text, they lied about their giving. They lied to the Holy Ghost. And Peter, are you hearing me? He spoke a word of them. He said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost, and you're going to die, and the worms are going to eat you, and they dropped dead when he spoke. Now, if someone that is new to God came in and read that text first and got to know God out of that one act of God, how many of you know that could cause them to turn away from God, to be, I'm not talking about reverence of God, but to be fearful of God? Are you understanding me? And so if you're going to tap into your true identity, You need to tap into understanding the ways of God. Let me tell you where the ways of God come. They come out of his character. The ways of God are about that he cannot change, he cannot lie. There are things about God that never change. God cannot, when we say he cannot lie, he is so God, he chooses not to lie. Does he have the ability to lie? Yes, because we're created in his image, but he chooses not to lie. And so when we understand this, it helps us in coming into our identity. But it says there, Moses, he revealed his ways to Moses. The ways of God. How many of you know the ways of your parents? You know, there's a certain character there, you know, with it. I mean, you know, my dad always drove a better pickup than I did. You know, when we were truck dealers, we were a GMC truck dealer, and when electric windows came out, his truck had electric windows. I still had the old crank up, you know. And I don't know how many times I would say to him, "Hey, Dad, can I use your truck Friday night?" And you know what would happen? This was his character. He went cold, stone deaf. I mean, he, you know, and I asked him one time, I said, "Dad, all those times I asked to use your pickup, why did you never answer me?" And he said, "Son, you got to ask the right question to get an answer. That was the wrong question. No, you're not getting my truck." You know, with that, you have a truck. You need to be proud of the truck. And so it's the same way with God. God wants us to understand his character. You know what his character is? He's forgiving. He's loving. Any of you ever had him love on you when you didn't feel lovable? Anybody ever noticed that sometimes in the midst of our biggest disaster, our biggest sin, he loves on us more? Anybody ever had that opportunity with your own children? They let you down. They spill something. They, you know, you catch them in a lie. I heard a story recently. I don't want to be too detailed, but heard a story recently about the fact that a parent took their child back to some places where things were done wrong and redeemed that situation. Can I tell you what? That's going to be a life lesson that's going to stick with that child. And, you know, I prayed over it. It not only made me proud of the parents, it made me proud of the child that they got to experience that. Can I just tell you, I wasn't a child, but I'm a speed reader. I've taken speed reading courses. I can read very fast, and I used to go to bookstores and read the book and not buy it. And God made me go back and buy all the books. I had to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to a bookstore and buy two books I read in there. Because God told me, he said, "You're stealing the books. You're not paying them." What was it Ian said he liked a while ago? Captain Marvel? Is that what he said? Marvel comic books. Okay. Anyway, Marvel comic book. How many of you have ever gone to a comic book store and stood there and looked through it, you know, digest it without buying it? Well, you know, if you do it all the time, I was in a habit of not buying books. I'd just go and read the book and absorb as much as I could in going through it, you know, just kind of doing this. And that was not integrity. That's not the integrity of God. That's not the character of God. So everybody understand, God wants us to know his ways, not just his acts. We cannot just know him by the gifts of the Spirit. We cannot just know him by the fact that the moving of the Spirit. He wants us to know his character. And when you learn his character, then you can begin to understand your identity. We're created in his image. Now, let me build on this for just a minute. How many of you, and I'm so dated anymore, when you get 64, you're kind of dated, but in my day, some of the books we read was Louis L'Amour. He wrote Westerns. Anybody ever, a few of you into that? How about this? How many of you remember Hardy Boy books or Nancy Drew? Let me just tell you, I read every Hardy Boy book there was, and then I got into the Nancy Drew books. I know they were written for girls, but I enjoyed that. But how about Western? Can I tell you what, in our motor home that we've been traveling in, we bought at Walmart the whole series of How the West Was Won. Remember the McCahans and Zeb McCann and James Arness and all that. And so, you know, Susan has to slow me down. I just want to watch all of them in one night. I mean, and there's about 8 or 9 DVDs in it. But it's great. But how many of you, when you used to watch a Western, you know, you became the hero? Amen? Well, here's what I want you to understand. I think a lot of us look at other people and we get images of what our identity is, and it's the wrong identity. Listen, there's no other one like you. God hasn't got another Dan Billman out here. Now, his sons are like him. I'm very much like my dad. Today's would have been my dad's 88th birthday. And I'm very emotional about it because I just sense his presence. How many of you know the cloud of witnesses are peeking in on us? And I just sense his presence very, very strong. My son posted something on Facebook this morning. It was kind of emotional for me, and so I'm there. And so what I want you to understand is we've got to tap into our identity. The charismatic movement has been too much about teaching us about the acts of God or the gifting of God rather than teaching about the attributes or the ways of God or the character of God. Now go with me to Psalms 139. In verse 16, I believe it's going to be. 139 and verse 16. Listen to this. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Here's what I want you to understand. God knew you before you were even conceived. My eyes, this is God speaking, my eyes saw your substance even before you were born. You know, God has that ability. But this is real key if you're going to tap into your true identity and move in everything that God wants you. Let's finish this scripture. 139 in verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet being unformed. And let me key in on another scripture. Jacob have I created, Israel have I formed. How many of you know God created us in his image, but he's forming us through his image, into his image by forming us to be who we are. He doesn't need two or three Susan Nashes. He doesn't need two of me. You know, I'm very much like my dad. I mean, if my dad was alive today, I bought a new pickup. I guess last week's when I bought a new pickup, and I was driving it yesterday. Susan and I went somewhere in it yesterday, and I sat there. I felt like my dad in that truck. I mean, it would have been a truck he would have loved. I mean, he would just absolutely. I mean, it's got leather in it. It smells like leather. In fact, it's got saddle colored leather in it. I mean, with it. And I was going down the road and I thought, oh my God, I'm becoming my dad. That's scary. Amen. Look what's ahead, Ian. But anyway, we won't go there. You will become your dad. Are you hearing me? And your eyes saw my subject, but yet being yet unformed, I keep saying being uninformed, but unformed, and in your book, listen to this, and in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. In other words, let me bring this down into Mississippi language. Before your days even began in the earth, your days had been written about and it had been put. And see, here's the thing about it. Until you tap into the book that was written about you before the foundation of earth, you can't find your identity. We got too many people looking. You know, I'm being gracious here, but Jane Hammond brought a word over somebody in this house a few years ago. And this person, I kept hearing him tell everybody, she prophesied to me that I was going to have a stadium ministry, that I was going to fill up stadium. I sat there and heard the word. I didn't hear it. So I finally dug the word up and listened to it. And I went and challenged this person. I said, there's nothing in that word. How many of you know sometimes we don't hear what's spoken, we hear what we want to be spoken? If you've raised your children, you know, it's like when my dad would tell me no, I couldn't use his pickup. Amen. I heard, well, there's still another potential. Ask him next Friday night. Amen. But no was no. And sometimes we work that way. But like the books a while ago, we read books about people and they become our hero, but then we want to fashion our future out of their lifestyle. You know, I will never be the kind of coach teacher when I read your stuff that this woman of God is. God's not called me to be that. I'm not teaching line upon line, precept upon precept this morning, because that's not my gifting. But what I want you to help you understand is, if you will move into that place of saying, God, I just want to know your ways. Quit knowing God by his giftings. Quit knowing God by his acts. Quit knowing God by what you believe he wants to do through you. You know, I saw a posting this week by someone I know on Facebook, and you know, they fully believe that they are a prophet of God because they know how to prophesy. Let me tell you what determines in Ephesians 4:11 or in Ephesians 2:20 a prophet of God. They have government on their life. Just because you can I just tell you, every born-again Christian in the earth ought to be able to prophesy. You ought to be able to hear from God, therefore you ought to be able to speak for God. Yes. Is that true?
Yes.
Am I making sense to you? But just because you can prophesy and with it. But see, when you start getting identity out of what you do for God, you're like a dog chasing his tail. You know, when I moved here in 2004, the Lord showed me a vision of the series Little Rascal, and they had this horse, and they hung a carrot out in front of him on a fishing pole. And how many of you know that horse was forever walking towards that carrot? But he never reached it. He never attained it. And this is what he said to me. That's what the churches of the Mid-South have done to my people. They've dangled a carrot out in front of them. Can I tell you the word for it? They've hoodwinked them. They've sold them in to a lie that if you just come here and serve. Listen, we're going to commission this woman of God today because she's preaching. I don't even know the name of the church, but she's preaching a Mother's Day message in a church. Is it in Memphis? In Memphis. This house is not about getting you here and collecting you here. This house is about getting you empowered and equipped to send you forth. Now, can I just help some of you? Until you lay down the imagery you have in your mind of how it worked, you're not going to progress. You're not going to move up. We're not trying to enslave you. You know the biggest, I dare say it, Lord. You know the biggest hour of slavery that's in the Mid-South? It's on Sunday mornings. They want to enslave a people to promises that can never be fulfilled. I promise you, I'm promising to the visitors here today, we're not going to dangle a carrot out in front of you. We want to empower. Listen, I believe if we empower this couple or this family here, then we're going to empower them to fulfill their destiny. Amen. And that destiny can be connected to City Gate, but that destiny is not just here in City Gate. We need ministers on every street corner. We need ministers in every business. We need minister. You know, Dan Billman doesn't just pastor here at City Gate. He's got a whole group of men he pastors at FedEx. Same thing with Thomas Lestrito. The same thing with others of you. If you build according to the old model and the old pattern, you're going to think the only place you can minister is on Sunday mornings or Thursday night. That is so far from what God is doing today. Can I tell you what? It is limited how many people are called to be in the pulpit. Did you hear me? But everyone has been given a pulpit. Paul talks about becoming a very easy to read epistle. You know, you are an epistle. Someone is reading your life. Somebody is looking at it and saying, "Man, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want anything to do with what they're about. All they do is condemn people." Are you hearing me? And so we've got to come into the place that we understand. What does your book say? See, God can't open some of your books yet because you're trying to do it your way. Who was it, Frank Sinatra or somebody? One of the guys saying, I did it my way. Well, I want to tell you what, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If you did it your way, God wasn't near it. Someone asked me a real good question the other day in Arkadelphia. I met a new young couple, and they came to me and said, you know, we've been knowing of you, and you know, can you give us one key that will help us accomplish what God's telling us to do? I said, yeah. Surrender. The key to promotion is surrender. You know, I've gotten numerous words in the last year about a greater platform. I'm just telling you, I'm being me. Even some of the words said that God was giving me a national platform. And I was driving into Arkansas one day with Susan, and I looked over at Susan, and of course, me and God have these conversations Susan's not in on. And then out of the blue, I just come in with this conversation that God and I was having. And I looked at her. I said, it's just like God to give it to someone that don't want it. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, a national platform. I don't want it. Can I balance that? I want God's will for my life. But I'm not interested. I can't tell you the excitement that was in my heart to be back here today. I have to tell you, you're my family. And, you know, it's not that I love another people greater than I do, as I love you. I didn't design this call. Man, I'd love to be one of those pastors that could build a 2,000-member church, you know, and I'd drive up here and have 14 armor bearers and, you know, show up and bring a good message and, you know, and everybody's happy and everybody loved me, you know, and nobody ever wants to leave the church and all this kind of, that's not my destiny. I'm just being truthful. You know, I had an encounter Friday night a week ago in the middle of the night. I had an encounter with George Patton, and, you know, he came and he, you know, when I call an encounter, the dream or whatever it was so real. To me, it was more than a dream. In fact, Jeff, he went to walk away from me. When he turned to walk away, I reached and grabbed his uniform, and he whirled back around. And I've checked this out. I've never touched a World War II uniform. They had a lot of wool in them. I didn't realize, but I could tell by the fabric that it had wool. And he turned back around and he looked at me like, "What'd you touch me for?" I mean, his eyes burned through me in this dream, this experience that I had. It burned through me, and I just held out my hand. And when he shook my hand, I felt the firmness of his handshake with that. And he said some things that I'm not at liberty to release right now, but I'm just telling you, God's lining things up with it. And it's not about World War III. Get that nonsense out of your head. That wasn't what he talked to me about. There's a war going on spiritually that we're, how many of you know we're gaining ground? You know, whether you like Trump or not, what he signed about the religious freedom last week is, I'm telling you, it's huge. Lyndon No Brains Johnson is the one that brought that forth. And I'm telling you, I don't have any tolerance for it, you know, with it. Listen, can I just tell you a myth? Separation of church and state is a myth. That's not what it's about. You need to study it and you need to understand it. Am I making a little bit of sense to you? Now, let's paint this picture. Until you get real with God, I'm not going to go there in the scripture, but it says, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do all of this? I think that's Matthew 13, maybe. And it says there, depart, I know you not. Listen, if you only know your... You know, Tim, I'm going to use you and your daughter. I love your pictures of when y'all are together on Facebook. It so blesses me. I see the love you have for her and the love she has for you. But if you only know your daughter because she cleans her room right, or if you only know your grandson because he makes good grades, or if you only know your children by out of what they do, you know, they didn't wear their muddy boots into the house. Those things are important that children learn discipline. Discipline is not punishment. Discipline is a way of life, and we are a very undisciplined nation. We're a very undisciplined church. The lawlessness that's in this area is at all-time height. The people feel like they can move and do things that's not in alignment, and God is wanting to do that. But see, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. Depart, I know you not. That word know there has to do. And it, depart, because all you ever did was take the gifting that I gave you, that I wrote in your book before the foundation of the earth, and you tried to get an identity out of it, but you never were intimate with me. This week in Atlanta, Robert Henderson and Beverly Watkins, who will be here in September teaching on courtrooms of heaven and in all of what they teach, but Beverly Watkins made a statement this week, and I probably will misquote it, but I'll give you the gist of it. She talked about, it's not about your gifting, it's about intimacy with God. I don't prophesy out of my gifting. I prophesy out of my intimacy. When I heard God say earlier today that we're not sinking in the ocean of grace. If you sink, you drown. Grace is lifting. They tell me, I've never been there, but is the Sea of Galilee or is the Dead Sea? One of them is so filled with salt that you just float. There's a natural buoyancy. I couldn't help but think. I was wanting to get back up and prophesy out of that. God's grace causes you to float. It didn't cause you to sink. And so I went up and told Will, and he did such an incredible job of taking the words I heard in my spirit. We're swimming in life. That's what grace... God's grace is life, with a capital L. It is life, bigger than life, as we say. How many of you have been around people just full of life? I love being around people full of life. Amen? How many of you know life is contagious? Amen? You know, we went on the prayer cruise with Francine Lovell. She's 81 years young. Really, she's 80 going on 55. I've never been around a younger 81-year-old in my life. I mean, just incredible. We went up and looked at land, a piece of land up near where she lives in Arkansas, the land that we're believing that God wants us to acquire. And we went up there, and she just up and down those mountains, and I mean, incredible. She is contagious with life. You want to be around people that way. Amen? You want to be around. I had this conversation with Dan and Vicky this week, and when it came by, I think it was Dan and Vicky, but there used to be a restaurant we went to here in South Haven, and one day we went there to eat. I like to go there and eat lunch, and we went there one day, Susan and I, and two waiters got in an argument over who was going to serve our table, and you know, they were kind of away from us, heard it, and so the one that didn't get it, I was more familiar with than the one that ended up serving us. And I said to him, he came by the table, I said, I heard you arguing over who's going to wait on our table. I said, you just wanted to wait on my table because I give a big tip. I was giving 20% when everybody else was giving 15. I'm now giving close to 22% because it's moved up to about 20%. Listen, and not because this necessarily they need it. I want to leave a good taste in their mouth. You know, we knew a waitress that used to work at Alexander's over in Wolf Jay's. And she told us the worst shift to work is Sundays. She said, you don't know how many times they leave tracks on the table for us and doesn't leave any tip. You know how many times they send food back. And she, can I tell you, she worked there, but she also worked, it's gone now. John Daly had a sports bar here in town and had the best Reuben in town. And I like to go there and eat their Reuben sandwich. And we would go there sometime late at night. And this waitress, we noticed her hanging around the table, and I said, And she said, asked her one, I said, you seem to be hanging around our table. You want us to get out of here? It was getting pretty late. And she said, no, I just like hearing y'all talk. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. And I said, do you know what I do? And she said, I think I got it figured out. You're some kind of preacher, but I ain't never met a preacher like you. Now I'm going to go back to the other waiter, and this is what he told us. When I asked him, I said, why do you want to wait at our table? You know, what is it? And he said, no, it's not about the amount you tip. He said, we like it because you speak to us and not at us. Yes. Who said wow? Mary? I had a wow moment. I didn't even realize I was doing it. But I would engage them. How's your week going? Are you in school? You know, listen, how many of you know, people are hungry for a relationship. It's just that they've had so many bad relationships, they have these walls up. Ecclesiastes says this, if you break through a wall, a serpent might bite you. But I declare it this way, if you break through a wall, you might find a treasure after you run the snake off. Amen? How many of you know, when I first met Jonathan, four years ago, when I first met Jonathan, can I tell you what? He was a brick fortress. He had this wall built around him. He wasn't going to let anybody in it. He was afraid we were going to see something in his life and we wouldn't like him. He felt insecure. Can I tell you what he's done? First thing, let me tell you what I did. I got a battering ram. Every time I get around him, I just battering that wall. Boom, 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 boom. And the wall started cracking. And you know what? When he saw the cracks in the wall, you know what he started doing? He started pounding on the other side. Let me out of here! I just want to be real. I just want to, and the anointing in this house and the spirit of adoption has brought him. How many of you watched him grow? Isn't he a blessing? You know why he's a blessing? Because he's becoming me. He's becoming him. If I would say it about me, I have discovered the more that I become me, the more I become like my Father in heaven. Let me say it this way. Now, I'm not talking about my dad. The more I become me, the more I become like Father God. And the more I become like Father God, the more I become me. He's still working on me. I haven't said this a long time. How many of you know I have a tattoo? Yeah, Tim does. He's heard me. I got a tattoo right across here. How many of you can see it? How many of you don't know what it says? Under construction. But I got news for you. So does Dan, and so does Vicky, so does Carolyn, so does Deborah. Amen? He's still working on us, isn't he? Yes. But see, we've got to come into our identity with it. Don't, please hear me. Do not get your identity out of what you're doing. You know that Michael Rush is a great blessing to St. Jude. That's his job. That's what brings and puts food on the table for his family. Just got a promotion, everything. But that's not his identity. What he does not give him his identity. It fulfills him. His identity is in what God, who God has called him to be. Now let me take a sidestep and just insert this. You know, it's not important on Sunday morning what we can do together as much as it is who we can be together. Amen? You know, what if a while ago we went to blow those candles out and then I blew first, and then by the time I ran out of breath, she started blowing? Probably wouldn't have blew them out as easy. Maybe wouldn't even have blown them all out. I kept thinking, knowing Ian Withrow and Bree, that it was probably going to be those candles you couldn't blow out. I was really expecting that a while ago. Might have been. I asked for a miracle. I said, Lord, please let them all blow out. Then I thought, Lord, maybe don't let them blow out because all they think is I'm a big windbag anyway. So I don't want to validate that thought. But I really did. I wondered if possibly they, you know, even if they just pour four or five of those candles, it looked like they go out and then they come back and everything with that. It's, you know, it would have been great. What's your identity in? Your identity is in the fact you're a son or daughter of God. Does God want you to prophesy? They said, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did all this. And he said, depart, I know you not. And can I just bring that down into a paraphrase? You know, with that, you can actually bring this out of the original text. Depart, you never let me be intimate with you. You know what? He wants to spend time with you when you're not flowing in your gifting. He wants to spend time with you when you're not being spiritual. Because when he can spend time with you when you're not trying to be spiritual, that's the time he can be intimate with you. Amen? He wants to have that interaction with you. He wants to come into that place of where you and him can become one. You know, Jesus said this, I do the things I see my Father do. Now let me share something with you. How many of you know that if you're never around your Father, you're never going to see him doing things? Much of what I have learned in my life, mechanic-wise, and even some of the business sense that I have, I learned watching my dad do it. My dad was never one of these these teachers. You know, Jeff, I don't really know your family, but was your dad a teacher where he said, "Now, son, I want to show you how to do this"? And dad just took me with him and told me to watch him. And you learned, and that's not always the best way, but it is a way. And I learned how to move in and discover and to develop skills and with that. And it's the same way with Father God. He just wants us to hang around him. I'm going to close with this last thought. Before my words rise. How many of you realize that we need to get rid of this imagery? I said this recently. I can't remember where I said it, so if I said it here, it's worth saying again. But I used to go into a David Wilkerson meeting. You know, he was the prophet back in the day when there was hardly any other prophet known. But I would go into a David Wilkerson meeting, and I just knew, because I knew this prophetic call that was on my life, I just knew that David Wilkerson was going to look up there and said, "Young man, the Lord showed me a prophetic call in your life. I want you to come spend time with me." Man, I even tried to help God. Amen. That's right. You know, trying to get his attention, trying to draw attention to me. Now, I know none of you ever did this, but I'm from Arkansas, okay? You know, there was a bad seed in me because I wanted to be recognized. No, there was an identity crisis in me, and I wanted to be recognized. And I would do these things, and can I tell you what? Nothing ever happened. And I finally came to the end of myself. And when I came to the end of myself, I didn't tie a knot in the rope and hang on. I surrendered. And I quit trying to do it my way. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what all you have for me ahead, but whatever you have for me ahead, I want it your way." And we watch things become so much easier, didn't we, Susan? In fact, I equate it to this, and if you're a minister, I withdraw that. Every person in here is a ministry. But can I tell you what? In the ministry, God's called, whether it's at FedEx or whether it's at work or whatever that you're doing, whatever it is, you're going to come to the place that you're going to be like the Shunammite woman. You're going to carry your vision, your ministry, and your identity in and place it on a bed, and you're going to close the door. If you think you're going to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish without having to give up and put it on a bed and allow God to resurrect it, it'll never come. You know, we've gone through it 5 times in our life where we came to the end of ourselves and we said, "God, we give it all back to you." It's the, you can call it the eye of the needle. You can call it the Shunammite woman when her son died and she put it on the bed. But see, then the anointing, not a man. I want you to get your eyes off Elijah being the man there. The anointing came in. And it said the anointing put his mouth to his mouth, his eyes to his eyes, and his hands to his hand. Let me just tell you, the quicker you can let this thing die, the quicker you can surrender. We've all got this. When I used to read the Hardy Boys, you know, how about this book? I mean, Lord, some of you are so good. Anybody ever read Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn? Man. You know, the nearest thing to where we live was Flat Fork Creek. Amen? Had enough beaver dams in it, you couldn't go down it very far. But me and I had two friends, Buck and Louie. Clay Buck and Louie built a raft. You know, I had enough sense to know that eventually Flat Fork probably got into the Mississippi River. So we decided we were going to run away from home on this raft. We got to the first beaver dam and, you know, water, you couldn't get the raft. We were going to have to drag it. We built the raft so big to be stable, we couldn't drag it over the beaver dam. That was the end of our Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer days. But every one of you, you've watched T.D. Jakes, and I want to be just like him. Or you've watched Dutch Sheets, I want to be just like him. Or you've watched David Wilkerson, I want to be just like him. You've watched whoever it might be, and you begin to get imagery out of that. Let me just share something with you. God doesn't need another Dutch Sheets. He doesn't need another T.D. Jakes. He doesn't need another A.R. Williams. He doesn't need another Clay Nash. He needs you. You are an individual snowflake. Every snowflake is different. Every raindrop is different. There's no two identical rocks. God does not create anything identical. You know, I know we have the term identical twin, but I promise you, if you've ever grew up around identical twins, their personalities will be different. They might look identical, but they're not. We grew up around two sets of identical twins. And, you know, I was very close to them. They were different. They looked alike, but they were different. God wants you to discover your distinction. He wants you to be distinct from anyone else. He wants you to move in that he has prepared for you. But it's important that you surrender first. Can I ask you this? Will you pray this week about doing something? Will you pray about giving God back all your prophetic words? Will you pray about giving God all the imagery of what your ministry and your life's going to look like? The first part of my life before Christ, I just knew that I was going to, have multi-businesses and all that. That wasn't what was written in my book. See, if you'll give God back the imagery you have, even if it's right, he'll start reading it out of your book. Remember the book I read about in 139:16 a while ago? He'll start reading out of your book and it'll become clear. Can I just tell you this, that you can call me boastful, you can call whatever. I am so assured at this place in life that Susan and I are living out of our book totally. We're totally living out of our book. We're totally living out of what God said. We have just been amazed. You know, the last time I was in here, whenever it was, what did I have you pray? That the money on our Volkswagen come. On Tuesday it came. With it. I mean, just that quick, with it and stuff. And we just have watched God and, move in ways. We've been praying since February the 21st. And I don't know why I waited long, but we got you to come in, and the synergy of our agreement moved upon Volkswagen to release. I'm talking about close to $20,000. How many of you know that's not anything to sneeze about? Turn your back to. It was big. It's what made us able to replace it. We've been without a second vehicle since February the 21st. But when it was released, then we were able, and then we prayed again, and I kept looking, and even my friend Brandon Smith found a truck, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted and everything, and then we found the exact truck that we were wanting and got the price that I was wanting to pay, and everything turned out. What I'm trying to tell you, life's so much better when you live according to what he wrote in your book.